take a look at our notes this morning, but before we do that, I just want to ask, how many of you have had vacation? Anybody been on vacation yet? It's almost over. You better do it. Yeah. Well, we just got ours in last week, so we did our annual family vacation. We went to Washington, D.C., great trip, got to see a lot. We decided to drive this year, didn't fly, which meant that we could spend some time in the North Coast holiday Mecca, known as Cleveland. Everybody's got to do that. Got to see Cleveland. Saw a ball game while we were there, and the Indians won. That was nice. Then we drove the rest of the way to D.C. We got to see the White House, the tour inside. We did the city bus tour to see some of the monuments at night. That was fabulous. The Lincoln Memorial all lit up is great. Got to see the MLK Memorial for the first time. You've seen that. It's wonderful. And the FDR one, too. I had never seen that one before, so that was great. Got to the Capitol. Then we went to Baltimore and saw a baseball game there on Sunday afternoon, and the Orioles won at Camden Yard. That was wonderful. Then we got to Washington Nats game. See a little baseball theme always going along with the teamins. So, and the Nats won, so I talked to a representative from Major League Baseball, and I think I'm going to be a PR guy. Wherever I go, the team wins. So the Cubs have called me a couple of times this last week, so we're going to see what we can do for them. Vacations are great, aren't they? We need them. We need to get away from time to time. And that's really the message this morning, as we take a look at this very familiar story. We've all heard it before, the feeding of the 5,000. But usually our theme, rightfully, is all about God's grace and the miracle. You know, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and he feeds about 15, 20,000 people. It's wonderful. It's a miracle. But we often forget the first part. It's not even in our text. The disciples were really busy working for the Lord, ministering to people, preaching and healing people's diseases. And then it's Jesus who says, you know, guys, you're working too hard. You need to get away a little bit. So why don't you go to a quiet place, a place that's desolate, the scripture says, so you can spend some time with the Heavenly Father. And then they go to work again, and miraculous things happen. You know, I grew up in a farming community. You've heard many stories about that. The church that I went to, being a rural church filled with farmers, you know, we really didn't appreciate when the pastor went on vacation. It was kind of frowned upon because, well, you know, as farmers, we typically couldn't hire someone to do all those daily chores and then fly the family to Disney World for a week or something like that. You know, who would gather the eggs and milk the cows? Very tedious job, you know, feed the hogs. In fact, there are a lot of men in our congregation who would suggest to the pastor, you know, the devil never takes a vacation. I don't think you should either. My friends, who are we going to follow? The devil or Jesus, who says we all need some time off? You know, I think maybe if the devil took a little time off, he wouldn't be so ornery. Huh? Because that's how we get too, isn't it? And that's the first thing that we want to talk about this morning, is the stress that comes in our lives. The dangers of stress. We know that many of the maladies that afflict people, you know, high blood pressure, anxiety, a lot of depression, being overworked, cancer, heart attacks. A lot of this just comes from stress. We know that from our own lives. We know that when we are stressed out, we get irritable and annoyed easily with people. We tend to snap at them. Well, there was a scientific study, in fact, many of them. One in particular that I want to relate to you. It was done by a man, the name of Dr. John Calhoun. He worked for the National Institute of Mental Health. And he wanted to do an experiment about the effects of overcrowding on people. And not just overcrowding of people, but all the things that we clutter into our lives. Now, how many of you would sign up for a test where we would put you with thousands of people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for an extended period of time, and you never got a break for them. Anybody want to sign up for that? Well, that's what he found too. Nobody signs up for that. Well, if you can't recruit people, he thought, well, I can recruit some mice. They usually don't say no. They can't say no. So he built the cage 9 feet square, and he started with 8 mice. Mice reproduce rather quickly. 21 days, you have a litter. Each one of those, after about 2 months, can have their own babies. And so this cage that was designed for about 160, in 2.5 years, it had over 2,000 mice. Can you imagine that? So they're all together. Now, you have to understand that everything was perfect otherwise. They always had water. They always had food. The place was always clean in the ideal temperature. No disease, just lots of mice. And so, this is what happened. Put this up there on the notes. These were the effects of the overcrowding. The males, who normally are very territorial, abandoned their leadership roles. The females, who typically are very nurturing creatures, became extremely aggressive, and they forced out their young, even their own babies, pushed them out of the nest. And then those young, well, they grew to be so self-indulgent that they had no ambition whatsoever other than to eat and to drink and to sleep. Because they had no ambition, this whole cycle of reproduction ceased completely. And after 5 years, all the mice were dead. Now I know these are mice. Don't feel too sorry for them. But it's a parable, isn't it? Parable of modern human life. We get so stressed out, we get so overburdened by life, that we lose sight of what's important, we lose our focus, we become irritable, we become annoyed easily. And so, the simple tasks of life become extremely draining. Just driving to work becomes a chore. Just going to work becomes a chore. Talking to our family, who wants to do that? What do so many people do after a long day of work? They do exactly what God has intended that we should do on a regular basis, and that is to get away. This is what the psalmist said. He said, my back is filled with searing pain. There's no health in my body. I'm feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. Another analogy. Sometimes, well, you remember the old Pony Express riders? Does anybody know why the Pony Express only lasted for a couple of years? What happened? The horses were exhausted. Now, as designed, they would run from point A to point B, carry the mail, hand it off. The next one would go from point B to point C, and on it would go. The problem was, a lot of the American Indians didn't like the Pony Express riders going through their territory, and they would attack them. The good news for the Pony Express is their horses were bigger, and they were stronger, and they were faster, and they could outrun the Indians. But the Indians quickly discovered, if they chased with one band from A to B, even though the Pony Express would beat them, if they sent a second band of attackers at point B to C, pretty soon the horse would become exhausted. Sounds like your life, doesn't it? Sometimes we're like, not the riders, but the Pony Express horses. We're so exhausted, we just feel like collapsing. And so we get one crisis resolved, and along comes another. We have trouble with the child at school, we just get over that, that's resolved. Then it's another one, get that resolved. Then it's our aging parents we got to take care of, then that's resolved. And there's an expensive car repair, and that's resolved. And there's a leak in the roof, and on and on and on it goes, and we get so overwhelmed and so stressed. We become like those mice, and we lose our focus. How many of you have ever said this? There is no what? rest for the weary. Although it's usually like this, there's no rest for the weary. There's no rest for the weary. Unless we balance our lives as God intended. Before we get to what God intends, here's the good news for the morning. These verses, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and not I could, not I might, not I should, but I will. I will give you rest." We have this wonderful opportunity every single week to come together with God's people to be refreshed, to be nourished, to come to the Lord's table, to have our faith strengthened through Christ's body and blood, to be encouraged by the message, to pray with God's people, to see faces that have missed us this past week. God said, "I will give you rest. I will carry those burdens. I will guide you in your attempt to balance life. And even more than that, I will take all of those burdens from you, so you can walk the path that I have intended for you." Stress is dangerous. And the good news is that God is there to remove it. And not only that, He's created us to live a balanced life. And so when we're out of balance, it's because of our own doing. And the good news is we can get back in balance. Go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. How does it go? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Right? Every day it was evening and there was morning and it was day. The first day, the second, all the way through. You notice that rhythm? The day was when God created. And the night was for resting, and so also for us. And not only does that pattern repeat day after day after day, but also week after week after week, because there's 6 days that are for working, not seven, but six. Even God rested on the Sabbath. We have that wonderful commandment. Usually we think of it as a rather pesky one, that third one, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Like, oh, got to go to church. It was created, this guideline was given to us to bless us. Because God knows our rhythm. We need rest and relaxation. We need refreshment. We need nourishment. We need a vacation. And we need it more than once a year. We need it every single day. We need it every single week. The problem is that our modern society, modern humanity, is not content with that. And there's all kinds of stores open this morning. Wasn't that way a generation ago? Sports teams going this morning. Wasn't like that a generation ago. Anybody remember when 7-Eleven actually went from 7 to 11? Why was that? Because you should be sleeping those other 8 hours a day. That's how God has created us, this natural rhythm of rest along with work. And so anytime our life gets out of balance, we pay a price in our health, in our relationships, even in our success. Do you ever consider that God can do more in your life when you only work 6 days a week and rest the other with His help than you can in the seven alone? And so, even though I'm not a hunter, I know that if you keep a bow always strung, always bent, eventually it either wears out and becomes ineffective, or it breaks. Or even worse, like the mice, we eventually die. 6 days for working and one is for rest. So Jesus knew the value of getting away to a quiet place. He was the one who came up with the idea. He encouraged His disciples and us to do so. And so we are to establish this natural rhythm to recreate the balance that God intended. It goes something like this: meditation or quiet time with God daily. Observe the Sabbath weekly. And take a vacation annually. We have a Bible verse to close on this morning. Again, the psalmist says, it's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night. What's that word? Useless. We think we're being so productive, working extra hours, working extra days, anxiously working for food to eat, to pay the bills, to take care of life. But God gives rest to his loved ones so that we can be as productive as God intends us to be. You know, there's an old story. It was in a devotional called Daily Bread. Maybe you're familiar with that. There was a man who came over to this country years ago. Remember when they had the old phone booths? Evidently, they're different in America than they were from this man's country. It was about dusk, and he wanted to find a telephone number, but he couldn't see it. He's fumbling around and he's trying to figure out the number. Then a passerby, he says, you know what? You have to close the door in order for the light to go on. And sure enough, close that accordion door, the light shined. And he made his call. In the devotional, it went on to say, our quiet time with God is kind of like that. When we shut the door on all the problems and cares and anxieties of life and spend a little time with God, his light illuminates our heart. It's then when we truly feel God's presence and we see a lot more clearly the path that he has for us. I want to encourage all of you this fall. At the end of the service, you're going to hear more about transformed. Getting together with like-minded Christians from Emmanuel to be encouraged in your journey. To hear messages every week that will touch your hearts and will change your mind and transform your lives in every area so that you can recreate this balance that God intends. It is interesting, isn't it, that the disciples first took time alone with God. And then, even though it was by the Lord's hand that this great miracle occurred, but it was the disciples who were then prepared to gather up all the leftovers. And that is what God intends for us. When we take that time to be with him, it's amazing the blessings that he brings into our life that we can then share with others. May God grant that to you for Jesus' sake. Amen.